Our sermon today comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus tells us a parable today. Well, some of us anyway. Luke begins this passage, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. That was a close one, right? For a moment, I thought Jesus might be talking about us. Well, if we don't belong to that group, then we can sit back and relax. You know, I can tell you like the TV preacher does, reach out and touch your neighbor and tell them, wake me up when it's over. The message is for you, not me. Most of us can come up with a picture of someone who we all know when we hear those words, confident of their own righteousness, or those who look down on everyone else. We all know someone like that. Maybe we should write their names down and drop it in the offering plate later. We're pretty certain our name wouldn't be one of them, right? But before we nod off for the rest of the sermon, we need to ask, why do we come to church? These two men went up to temple to pray. Why do we come to church? Each week, week after week, we show up here, sometimes in the best of moods, sometimes in a not so good mood. You don't need to shout out your answer, but I just want to think about it for a minute. Really consider, why do we come to church? You may have seen Joel Osteen's wife, Victoria, a while back make a statement on the televised show that when you come to church, you do good. You don't really do it for God. You do it for yourself. Worshiping God, according to Victoria, isn't about Him. It's about us and what makes us happy. We do good things for us so that we feel good about ourselves. Then when we are happy, that makes God happy. Between me and you, I'm not so sure God's happiness relies on me being happy. Morgan Guyton, who is involved in campus ministry, agreed with Victoria on some points, mainly that worship should give us a deep joy, but he also commented on the problem that middle-class Christians, whoever that might be, sometimes look at worship as a moralistic duty. We worship God, we come to church because it's the right thing to do, like paying taxes, getting your kids to soccer on time, or staying caught up on the dishwashing. You don't really come to church for God. You come to church for yourself, is the message. It would be laughable if I hadn't heard the very same thing from an ordained American Baptist pastor who I consider a friend, albeit with some tensions between us. God doesn't need you to glorify Him. You do what you do for yourself. That's really not God we're worshiping, but we are coming to church to make ourselves feel better. I want to be clear, these are His thoughts and not mine. This was His message. We should skip the Lord's Prayer because we're just mumbling it anyway. We should play more music that makes us feel better about ourselves, even if it's not what we might consider to be Christian music. Stop the announcements because they're boring and no one goes to those things. We should also skip over prayer requests because it's only gossip. You aren't really here for God. You're here for yourself. So make yourself happy by doing the things that make you happy. I wasn't sure exactly who he was talking to when he preached it, but I was pretty sure it wasn't me. What this denominationally ordained pastor gave us was what church should be like for him. What church should be like to worship Him. with an ideology or a theology like that, is it any wonder then that on Sunday morning many might think, I don't need to worship God. I can stay home and be happy and sing praises while I sleep in. I can say a prayer from the golf course or at the ball game. I can be the church hanging out by myself in my she shed because that's what makes me happy. If worship is simply a means to make myself happy, then I can spend my offerings on coffee and scones or pizza. While those might seem like extreme examples to us, they become realistic and rational if we can deceive ourselves into believing it's not God we worship. And it's not that hard to do. It is not that hard to do. Steve Camp, pastor of Cross Church, Palm City, Florida, commented on Victoria's comments, said it best. It's the age-old sin of idolatry. It's not about God, it's about us. True worship for the humanist is how we feel at the end of the day and what gives us meaning and value as opposed to what gives God glory. The message from the church in our more recent history has been, be a good person. How you are valued and how good you are, and because God loves you, you should love yourself. We've become so focused on preaching morality that we fail to preach immortality. If then I'm a good person and I can live a good life, a life where I can make myself happy, what do I need God for? I'll go to church because that shows you I'm good, and I'll sing the songs I like and hang out with my friends, and we'll tell each other how good we are, and we'll all be happy, and we'll all be one. And you know what? If I don't find a church like that, I can just go to another because that's what makes me happy. Is that the church Jesus Christ is building? Is this why we come to church? To show God how good we are, to fulfill our moral duty as long as our taxes are paid and our dishes are done. Maybe we can squeeze in church to make life complete. Because that's what good people do, and I feel good when I do good things. See, I'm making God happy because I'm happy. It's a goodness accomplished by standing on the shoulders of someone else. In order to elevate you, you must take down someone else. In order to show how good we are, we have as our example a paradox of how bad someone else is. If you claim that you are good or righteous or religious, you can only make that claim based on how bad, unrighteous, or unreligious someone else is. I grew up with a friend named Mark, who had a brother who was constantly in trouble. He had a long list of poor choices he had made through his life. And Mark told us one time how he was seated at the dinner table and their father was giving Mark such a hard time for a small bit of trouble he had gotten into. And Mark listened to it for a few minutes and he grew tired of it. And so he pointed at his inerrant brother and said, "But what about him?" And his father immediately said, "And you?" And started to go down through that long laundry list. And Mark said, "I got to eat the rest of my lunch in peace because I was then the good brother. I'm good because I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get and because I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or like this tax collector." We're not like that, are we? Have you reached that point where you come to church, you begin to look down on those who don't come? Have you noticed that those on either side of you didn't give what you felt they should give when the offering plate went by? Did you remark about those who didn't show up for whatever event or dinner or fellowship or Bible study that was taking place where you felt they should be? I show up every Sunday, every event, every time the doors of the church are open. I sing, not too loud, not too well, but I sing anyway, even if I don't like the song. I give more than I have to give, even on weeks I don't have it to give. I work harder than the next guy anytime the church needs help. Thank God I'm not like those other people. Thank God I'm not like those people. I'm the good Christian that does it all. When you pray, what do you pray then? Because in this parable, both men are praying. And both are praying to God. We can give them that. And both men are praying about themselves. It's an I or me prayer, which isn't wrong by any sense. One sees himself in comparison to other men, and he sees how good he is. The other sees himself through God's eyes and sees he's no better than anyone else. Do we suddenly see ourselves in the parable Jesus has told to some of us? How do we answer the question, why are we here? One of these two is sure he's righteous by the things he does. One has fallen into that lie Satan told us in the garden. You can be like God, just do good. He more than likely goes home feeling pretty good about himself because he feels he's justified by his goodness. He can tell God how good he is. He can boast about all the good things he's done for God. When he gives thanks, it's not that he is like the tax collector. Thank God I'm not like you. The other is humbled by who God is. The other realizing that he's a sinner, he believes he has no right to even come near to God, and he doesn't. Not to even look up into heaven. Instead, he stands at a distance, beating his chest, a reminder of his humanity. He sees in himself the same sin that he sees in others. Is that the view we have? Is that what we see? Or do we think we are like the tax collector because we sit here in our humility? Nobody's more humble than me. And thank God we're not like that Pharisee. Those obnoxious religious people. In thinking that same way, we fall into that same trap. Why are we here? Why come to church? To pray? To fellowship with others? To listen to the teachings from the Word? To lift our voices in praise through musical expression? To whom? To whom? If we cannot come to church with our own sin, our own shortcomings, our own depravity in mind, then we are just like this Pharisee. But also, if we cannot come to church with the one person in mind who resolved all that for us, who saved us, who offers us his righteousness, then we are in no way like the tax collector. Pastor Tim Robinson asked the question during the ordination. He knew he was going to ask it. Neither one of us knew how I would answer it. How do you present or describe the gospel? How do you present or describe the gospel? It's a tougher question than one might think. My reply was repentance, redemption, worship. We cannot truly worship God until we have been redeemed. We cannot be redeemed until we repent. There's our joy. There's why we rejoice. Why we can worship is because of our redemption. The book of Revelation speaks more than once about a new song, and it's only the redeemed that can sing it, because only the redeemed know and understand not only why they worship, but whom they worship. Before redemption must come true repentance. True repentance is not lamenting who we are, but who we're not. Not only who we are, but who we cannot be. True repentance is not lamenting about who we are, but lamenting about who we are not. And that is a good person standing on their own righteousness. We can't do it. It's impossible. Once we understand not only what we are, a sinner dead within the depths of depravity, can we begin to look up and see what we are not. We cry out from within the very grave we ourselves dug. The prayer of the tax collector, I'm just like other men. God, have mercy on me. If you come to church in order to feel good about yourself, then we truly worship ourselves. And as Steve Camp said, it's the age-old sin of idolatry. To anyone who truly believes that they must feel good in order for it to be worship of God, I beg you to listen to a John Knox sermon. The Scottish Reformer wasn't afraid to tell it like it is. And he really made you look into your own life to see if you really were a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus has presented us with two extremes, the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I can step back and smirk and proclaim, I'm glad I'm not like that Pharisee. But in doing so, I must realize I'm so unlike the tax collector. Does that mean when we leave church downtrodden, we should be beating our chest, woe is me, and proclaiming to all what wretched wrecks we are? By all means, no. As Paul said, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we leave the church with the joy in us that we have acknowledged and worshiped our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior by striving to know Him deeper and better and more fully, by honoring, praising, and glorifying Him, then we have not only the reason for coming to church, but the reason for our joy, the reason for the hope that we have within us, a hope that Peter tells us to always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you, why? What on earth is wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Not because I'm a good person, but because a righteous person died for me. I hope you leave church feeling happy, because in realizing your condition, you find humility by seeing what you're not. You can find worship in seeing Him for what He is, and exalt Him even as you're covered in His righteousness. Only then can we all go home justified. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray that we're able to look into our own hearts, to discover within us that there was nothing good, that our hearts are wickedly deceitful. And in doing so, Lord, in recognizing what is actually within us, that we can turn to You and see what You desire for us to be. Lord, let us humble ourselves. By humbling ourselves to be exalted by You, to be exalted, to be covered with the righteousness, to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be called a child of God. And that be our message, Lord. That what we proclaim is glory to You, not glory of ourselves. And in doing so, Lord, we give evidence, we show proof of our redemption. We show that the Holy Spirit does live within us. And it's only because of what You have done for us, nothing that we could do for ourselves. Lord, we ask a blessing on Janice as she struggles to understand what happened this morning, and to help heal her and make her comfortable and well, and so that she can be at peace physically. Lord, our hearts go with her, and our prayers go up to You, and our prayers go up to all of us as a congregation, as a church, united under Your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.